Hey, GP learners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We're going to do something that we've not really done before, and it's come out of my attempts for doing something a little bit cheeky and a little bit fun. But we kind of thought it'd be a good way to review things, and that's basically talking about how you would spend an IT budget if you were the one making the decisions about it. What do you think about this topic, Andy?
So I think this is great. So this is based around a tweet that you put out last week, Andy, which I thought was really, really interesting, where you did sort of IT procurement bingo, and you had a grid of different products and different suppliers that encompassed different kind of functions and part of what you would need in terms of an IT infrastructure and solution for a GP practice. And you priced them differently, actually. Mm-hmm. And you had different tiers of pricing from £6 to £1. And then you set a budget. You said, right, if you've only got £12, what would you procure? What would you use at your practice? So there was an exercise in budgeting as well. And I thought that was really, really interesting and throws up all sorts of conversations about this product versus that product and balancing different types of products. You know, how important is demand management compared to digital dictation, for example? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really, really interesting tweet, and it'll be fun to discuss this live with you on camera, Gandhi.
Cool. So I guess the reason why we thought this, I'll go to the reason why I created it, first of all. So I've been involved in some of the purchasing decision discussions around primary care IT. And it's interesting the different perspectives that people have, because I think what a lot of people forget, the people that decide what systems that primary care uses are not necessarily the users of the systems that then end up having. So there is a massive dichotomy there in terms of the, you know, who uses it versus who pays for it. And then that leads into the discussion about which is the best tool to have. I think there's also a difference in terms of financial cost versus perceived cost and the implication that has for different organizations and just what people value from it. So I thought this would be a really fun way of trying to explore that. And it's been interesting because, like you said, I put this tweet out a couple of days ago and the discussions I've seen from it have been enjoyable from my perspective at the very least. And it's led to some interesting discussions as well. Probably helps if we show it. So I'm going to bring it up on screen. And I know that you had a couple of questions for me about why I did what I did kind of thing. So this was the tweet that went out. And as you can see, there's a grid of 6x4. So a couple of providers I'm going to put with this. First of all, this is not the extensiveness of primary care IT. There is clearly a lot more companies, a lot more platforms, software, that kind of stuff that's available. Obviously, none of these are an endorsement for any of these companies at all. It's just I picked for ones that I knew were relatively popular or topical that people were aware of. And that's the main reason why I went for a lot of these particular ones, just because then it saves having to explain, well, what does that do? What does that do? You know, that kind of thing. What did you think, Andy?
Yeah, so I thought it was really interesting. And as ever with these exercises, I always try and just sort of read between the lines and kind of think what's going on in the background here and why is this constructed in the way it's constructed. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, Gandhi, before I go ahead and kind of procure my IT solution for my practice or primary care network. So I can see, broadly speaking, you've got some electronic, you know, record systems on there. They're not all, and that's kind of the basic building block, I think. But they're not all on the top. So you've got vision a little bit further down, which I think is interesting. So it'll be interesting to understand that. I'll group my questions, not too many questions at once. So why vision not on the top line? And then there's a few things on the top line, which I'm wondering why they're there. So AccuRx, I kind of understand because that's topical and it's become really integral. But it's interesting that it's on the top most expensive line, and I'm not sure that reflects its actual cost relative to TPP or EMIS, although those aren't paid for directly by practices, so I'm less in touch with the cost of those. And then Teams as well. So Teams is free, really, for everyone in the NHS to use. Obviously, the NHS is paying for it, but it's not really in any of our local procurement decisions. So Teams, like, why is that on the top? So yeah, tell me about Vision, AccuRx and Teams, Candy. Why are they where they are?
Okay, so you're basically talking about the top row effectively. So TPP and EMIS, like you said, are two of the biggest EPRs that we have access to, and they're systems that majority of people use, and they form majority of our workload when it comes to us in primary care. So that's kind of where they're why they're at the top. And your question about why is Vision not up there with them? Well, it's because Vision's useless, if I'm being honest. It's as simple as that. So as I mentioned, TPP and EMIS are the big two across England at the very least, and across the UK. And Vision, you know, doesn't quite get used as much as them. And I think I wanted an option that meant that people had potentially more financial choices to make if they went for a cheaper system. Now, the reason I put those in air quotations, and I appreciate those listening on the podcast wouldn't have seen that, is just simply none of these actually reflect the actual financial value of the systems themselves. And you mentioned that with AccuRx, you know, our AccuRx is not one of the most expensive items on this list, yet it's right at the top. But it's also about perceived cost, both to the organizations, but also to the individuals. Because I know if you ask many individual clinicians about their value they put on AccuRx, they place it really high up on the list, even though financially it may not be the same cost as something like, you know, one of the other platforms or TPP or that kind of stuff to the system. And then your last one was about Teams. So the reason why I put Teams on there was deliberate. Even though, you know, local decisions don't necessarily have a huge implication in terms of purchasing Teams, they do to some degree. So how much of Teams they use is still a CCG purchasing decision. So there is that element of deciding how many of the different functions of Teams each area uses, because it's actually a suite and they can pick and choose what they want. But actually, it's about that organizational impact. Many of us have adapted to using Teams as part of our integral workflow. And if you were to suddenly lose that, how would that make you feel? How would that impact the way that your business works? How would that impact, you know, the way that your primary care works in both your practice, your network, and wider? So that's the reason why I stuck it in there. Even though it's not necessarily a cost a practice would be paying, this isn't actually designed to be made at the practice level, although it's interesting that's how many people have made it. It's trying to encompass the whole aspect of, you know, system, individual, and just a bit of fun, to be honest.
I certainly found it fun, actually. It's really fun to have a discussion about it. So, okay, that's helped me out there. And a few of my other questions might come up later. I suppose also, so actually, yeah, another question.
Go for it.
We've got electronic record systems across the top, EPRs. Then I can see there's a demand management theme to the £5 layer. And then we've got sort of document and pathways kind of management really below that, Vision notwithstanding. Then there are, let's say, video and access tools, maybe across the £3 section. Then £2, there's it's starting to get a little bit more varied, but we've got sort of dictation, and I don't fully recognize some of the brands there, actually. So I might ask you, Exxon and Crescendo, are they Exxon Good Call strikes me might be a telephony solution. Crescendo also sounds a bit audio, so there's perhaps an audio theme to this this tier. But what are those two products, Candy?
So Exxon is a telephony-based company, so they provide a lot of resources to practice, for example, providing phone lines, providing speech elements of things, so you can have apps and phone kind of, you know, creating the extra resilience that many people are probably using from working from home. I know they've got some additional functionality that they've been working on, and hopefully is actually out there now, about direct integration within the clinical systems. So I know one of the things a lot of people always ask for is their kind of ultimate wish list. I click on the patient's phone number within the clinical system and my phone line starts dialing it straight away. So I don't have to do that step of typing the number in, which to many people, they're probably thinking, that sounds silly. But actually, a lot of telecommunications, and with us shifting a lot to telephone use, it's a massive time saver if they can do that. And I believe Exxon have created a system, or when I last spoke to them, which was pre-pandemic, they were working on that particular solution. So that's Exxon. I'm pretty sure they do loads of other things that I've forgotten about. But feel free to have a look at them. Crescendo, very similar to Lexicom, their speech recognition company. So about dictation, speech recognition, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you could probably class Crescendo, Dragon and Lexicom in kind of the same sort of area and things. And yeah, that's partly why they're all kind of the similar tier, because they do the same sort of function, despite the costs of them being considerably different.
So, and then the final row, I'm seeing a sort of more of an organizational sort of support theme there. Although Patient Knows Best is perhaps it's a local wild card for Nottingham area, Gandhi, I guess. I'm not sure how many other areas use Patient Knows Best, but that's a sort of patient information sharing, record sharing, appointment sharing tool that also can be used for directly messaging, and some beginning to be used potentially for some demand management applications by practices in the Nottinghamshire area, I guess. We could perhaps do a bit more detail with Patients Knows Best. I know we have done in the past. Meddling, just remind me about Meddling, Gandhi, before I start making these important procurement decisions.
So Medlink is a platform that kind of does a little bit of the demand management, but it's more around form-based. So, you know, for people out there, things like the Accurix Flurries, that kind of stuff, they create links that allow you to integrate with the patient in terms of questions for them or forms or that kind of thing, and works really well. Actually, I did an episode with one of their company leads, Lorenzo Kemper, a couple of months back, and it does look really impressive in what they did. And one of the things I really like, they're quite responsive. So, you know, when COVID hit, they created things to help practices deal with COVID management and that kind of stuff fairly quickly, you know, in terms of supporting practices and things. So they've got some really nice tools and stuff. But more around that concept of sending the patient a form to integrate with could be used demand management, I guess, is similar to PKB. So that's why it's there. Clarity and Practice Index, you know, these are potential back office support mechanisms for practices to help do with things like, you know, CQC protocols, meetings, that kind of thing, but also integrate a little bit with things like mandatory training, which a lot of people forgot about, to be honest, when they kind of gave their answers. You know, actually you still have to have systems to allow you to do things like mandatory training and that kind of stuff. So if you don't include that in your primary care IT budget, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, it depends who you ask. I'm sure practice managers would have been all over that aspect of the procurement. Cool. Okay, so right, I'm going to dive in, although I'm not going to quite dive in, because I'm going to say, right, I think
shall we actually tot up what we currently have? I think that'd probably be an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, because I'm probably going in excess of £12, really, in terms of what I currently have. So we've got TPP system one, six.
That's six,
We do have Teams, which is, okay, that's 12. So we're currently using AccuRx. That will probably change when the pricing model changes. So but currently, that's 18. We've got access to Patients Knows Best, although our utilization could be better at the practice, 19. Mm-hmm. We've got Clarity TeamNet, 20. Mm-hmm. Just looking through, is anything else? So we do have some of the MJOG services, actually. I'm going to say 23. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're at as a practice. So we're spending 23 on those items. How about you guys, Gandhi?
Yeah, so similar. I mean, I've dipped in and out of using a variety of different tools with our practice and stuff, but currently, yeah, same amount in terms of how much we're spending in practice. And I think there's definitely room to adapt and change in terms of which of those you wanted to use. Interestingly, when I've had some of these answers come back from people, I've had some people turn around and say they've been spending 36 currently. So considerable more than you and I in terms of what, you know, they're using. I found EMIS users tend to spend a little bit more, if I'm being honest. And I wonder if that's because of things like DocumentMan. A lot of EMIS users tend to have DocMan.
Yeah.
And I think that seems to push them up a little bit. Do you want to know how to use System 1 more effectively as a clinician? There are various different things you can look at, but there is only one course that can help you understand this and have all my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively. And that's the System 1 course for clinicians. If you want to have a look at it, have a look bit.ly/TPPS1course, TPP and S1 in capitals. But if you do have a look at it, what will you get? Well, you'll get content and information and guides on how to use System 1 more effectively, from getting started with System 1 to navigating the patient record, to understanding the key parts like doing a consultation, as well as prescribing, clinical admin, communication, and various other information. And this includes my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively, so it saves you time and your patients stress in terms of their navigation with their patient journey. If you want to have a look at it, check out the link. As I said, it's bit.ly/TPPS1course, and the TPP and S1 are all in capitals, and you will get access to all this content perfectly. Even better yet, there's a money back guarantee. So if you don't actually find this course has helped save you some time, just let me know. I'll refund you the course once you've completed it and stuff. Catch you then.
Interesting. So, right. As I was saying, I'm going to dive in, but not dive in, because I think I need a digital strategy for my practice or my patch. Okay. And we're going to be inclusive, and we're going to include practice managers definitely, and some of the other disciplines in creating this digital strategy. They're not here with me in the room, so I can only anticipate their needs, but they'll want something that handles CQC preparation, handling significant events and complaints and kind of things like that in a streamlined way, and mandatory training for staff, etc. So we're going to be inclusive. So I think I need an electronic patient record system. It would be nice to have some CQC stat and mandatory training type tools or solution. It would be nice to have a team solution, so building effective teams, as was in the white paper that we looked at last week. I like some team solutions. I need document management, but that might be included in my electronic patient record. And I'd probably like some element of demand management as well going forwards, which isn't something we use currently in practice, but I'd like to have that going forwards. So that's my shopping list. And there might be other things which are good to have as well. So that's my shopping list. I'm going to start spending my money. So I like System 1. System 1 has integrated document management. I've been in EMIS practices actually before, and yes, they do still tend to use DocMan. I'm not quite sure if EMIS does have native document management tools, but my experience has been that they've used DocMan as well, which I think has been historically also procured locally. So that might be the reason why they're still using it. But I'm going to go with TPP because in the system you've created, I feel it represents better value for money, and it's what I'm used to. So that's
fair enough. Fantastic.
So I go TPP. Now, the next line, the fives, we're looking at demand management. And in fact, no, I'm not going to go there next. Let's stick with the line. So I like Teams, and I've been using Teams a lot, but it's too expensive here. And it, whilst it pains me, I'm going to lose Teams, and I'm going to use elements of the other products and perhaps even some free products like WhatsApp in order to manage my Teams, notwithstanding that we can't share patient-related information on some of these other platforms, but we're going to improvise around it. It's just too expensive, so we're going to lose Teams. So we've got TPP. It would be nice to have some sort of demand management solution. Locally, we've got Patient Knows Best procured already for us. And actually, we've been experimenting with some of the forms on AirMID from System 1, which is currently available without additional charges. And patients can directly message in, and you can structure some of that around forms. And I'm anticipating that in the development roadmap for TPP, I don't know if it's there, but I'm anticipating that they'll probably try and introduce some sort of demand management functionality in order to compete in that sector of the market. And it might be free at first, and then it might be paid for extra later on. So I'm going to actually say we're going to invest time in investigating AirMid as a practice, as we are doing already in terms of demand management. So that gives me a lot more to play with. If I had more money, I'd probably plump for a bespoke demand management tool at the moment to plug that gap before TPP brings something online, or we might just find that it's excellent. But £5 for demand management, too expensive, I think, because I've got other decisions to make. So TPP alone so far. I think we do need a video consulting solution, because we do a lot of video consulting. That is going to be available as part of MJOG going forwards.
And it's important to remember that TPP also has AirMid, which is a video consultation platform.
Very true. So that's already taken care of. I think our practice manager loves MJOG, and I've seen some of what they're aspiring to do around improving their communication with patients in terms of video consultations and sending documents and so forth. I'm going to go with MJOG. I'm going to purchase MJOG. So that's £9. I think I do need something for managing training and CQC compliance and protocols and policies and procedures and documenting significant events and complaints. We currently use Clarity TeamNet. It does the job well. It's only £1, so we'll have that. So that takes me up to
10.
10? So I've got £2 more. And actually, I think, given that we're leaning heavily into the integrated functions of System 1, I've covered most of my needs already. And I've spied that Dragon Dictation, I think, is under-costed on your platform. And it's something that over the years we've talked about several times about purchasing for the practice. We think to improve the speed and quality of generating our referral letters and improving the quality of documentation in notes. So I'll probably get Dragon, I think, which takes me up to 12. The big thing I'm missing is a kind of bespoke demand management solution. So that would probably be the next thing on my shopping list. If you had one of those for £2, I'd have had that instead of Dragon. But I'll take Dragon just to bring me up to £12. So
you wouldn't want to swap that for something like PKB or MedLink, which potentially has some of those functions? Or do you feel you'd rather have Dragon over those, bearing in mind they're similar possible quality? Well, not quality. Quality is the wrong word. Function, shall we say, is the AirMid platform in System 1.
Yeah, that's good. You're being a bit like Jeremy Clarkson on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and asking him if I'm sure with my answer. It's a good challenge. I think I would... I've got faith that... It's a really interesting question, because this is a real question for us as a practice. And it's more about for us rather than where we invest our money, since we already have System 1 and AirMid purchased for us, and we already have PKB purchased for us. The question for us is, where do we invest our time in terms of engaging and developing processes around a product? So for us, that's, do we invest time in Patients Knows Best or start to explore using AirMid? And we've decided to lean more into AirMid, actually, because we feel TPP are a massive player and that they are going to and likely to put a lot of development resource behind making the forms element of that work, and that will become useful for demand management. So actually we've chosen to put our time behind that rather than the smaller, currently favored local player, which is PKB. So my procurement decisions within this exercise will reflect the reality of where we're spending our time. And I'm going to say, no, we'll go with Dragon. a lot of the GPs at my practice and nurses will love that we have gone with something like that to make their lives easier, and we'll develop our demand management and communication strategy around System 1 AIRMID. That's my final answer, Jeremy.
Okay. How did you find that then?
I thought it was a lot of fun, actually, Gandhi. It was actually quite fun. Maybe I'm a peculiar person, but I quite enjoyed that. And it does make you, for me, that made me think about, right, how do I answer this question? I need a digital strategy. You know, what bases do we need to tick? What products do we need? And how can we do that within a budget? So I found it a really fun exercise. And also, when we're comparing these sorts of products, what we don't often do is compare AccuRx with Clarity TeamNet, because they do completely different things. But actually, they all cost the same resource, which is money, and, and the time you invest to engage with them. So actually, somebody somewhere does actually need to weigh the relative merits of these things up when you're deciding what to spend a finite budget on. So that was the interesting thing about it that I've never really thought about before. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good exercise.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of said I did this for a little bit of controversy, a little bit of fun kind of thing. One of the things I found with participating in some of these discussions is the perceived value for the products don't often reflect, I think, how people understand the implications of having the products and then purchasing them, the decisions that go into it, which is often interesting. So, you know, with putting this out, I've had loads of people that have said, well, I'll just have EMIS and Accurix, or I'll just have, TPP and, one of these other products, and that's it. And then when I've come back to them and said, well, have you thought about how you're going to do things like your, mandatory training? Have you thought about, your document management side of things, all those kind of things? And you can definitely tell when, like you said, when it's been a clinician that's answered the question versus a practice manager, the different ways that they approach the challenges. So I think it proves a difficult task, and it's deliberately meant to be a challenge to make you think about things. And I don't envy those people that are actually having to make these financial decisions, because it's a really hard thing to manage and negotiate. But I think one of the things that often is forgotten is that the users are the ones that end up using the product, and the implications and the challenges they face as a result of it are often missed out in the decision about the purchase itself. And that's where we lose a lot of benefit, I think, to the system overall.
Yeah, sometimes something's procured that doesn't really catch on, and that's a problem, isn't it? It must be difficult for those people making their procurement decisions to get the engagement from people. It's hard. If they could do it well, they'd make the right decision every time, wouldn't they?
And I think we're going to see, unfortunately, a lot of challenges around this in the coming years, because increasingly we're seeing, obviously, the needs of the users change. COVID's a great example of that. It changed the way we do things completely. But then on top of that, it's that question of, how do you change to another product, or the hot new product of the year, shall we say? When people want to change, well, what about the opportunity cost that's going to come in terms of training, changing the patient's engagement with those kind of platforms as well? If you have one that's focused through its own independent app, rather than having to use a different platform, you have to re-educate the patients with using all those kind of, it's all that kind of stuff.
Very interesting, Andy. So lock-in, that was something that was in my mind when I was making the decision about demand management, because, and I think it's something that a lot of these companies know as well, because if they can become embedded within the process by which patients access your surgery, then actually that's quite valuable to that company, because the likelihood of you, the cost to you of changing that process because of what your patients have learned to do and what they're used to, is quite high. So it's almost a form of non-contractual lock-in, in a way, and almost you want the process to be independent of the platform to a certain way. So we're quite keen to, make the starting point something fairly neutral, like the NHS app or the practice website, so that actually that's what the patients go to before they then engage with the demand management process, which we as a practice would like to be able to switch out if we need to at different points in time. So, just interesting you raised that point.
And I think one of the other points to remember is that we may see a lot of this change in the coming years, particularly as collaboration hopefully improves. So it's interesting when you look at some of these products, quite a few of them are already linked quite deeply with each other in various different ways. And that obviously has implications in terms of the purchasing element of it. So, for example, you know, one of these products on here is automatically linked to two others on the list. And so you get that, you get the other two kind of thing built in. But obviously, that's not always the case in terms of what people use. Vice versa, one of them owns another one. You know, there's various actual idiosyncrasies within all these different platforms and that kind of thing, which makes it a bit more intriguing, shall we say.
Gandhi, there's a little bit of a small amount of time left here. So which ones are related then? So who owns who, and which ones are related? Or was there a reason why you didn't say? You were very
I mean, people can do their homework, but for example, if you were to have eConsult, then there's a collaboration between them and QDoctor, so you get the QDoctor platform within it. And I think where's the other one? Livy, if I remember rightly, now owns MJOG. So that's another one that's there. System One and Ardens have a really good working relationship in terms of the way that they create products and that kind of stuff. Similarly, the same is for EMIS and eConsult and stuff. They have a really good working relationship that probably goes a little bit deeper than some of the other aspects, and that shows in some of the levels of integration that they have with each other and that kind of thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I find this the ecosystem of companies really interesting to understand. It would be nice. Maybe we should create a map showing all the different connections and integrations and so forth. And I just think it's an interesting space with lots of innovative small players, kind of larger incumbents who are also often quite innovative as well. And you know, there's a process of different people buying different people up and tying up into collaborations. And it'd be interesting just to see what this space looks like in, say, 2 years' time compared to what it looks like now, you know, after there's maybe been a process of consolidation going on. I just think the kind of the business side of it is really quite interesting too.
Mm-hmm. It'd be keen to review, I think, in a couple of years' time and see if it's any different, shall we say that.
Yeah, and who's still around? Yeah, save this slide.
So we hope you enjoyed that little kind of foray into the realm of, you know, primary care IT bingo, and basically just the prospects of what is perceived value, I think, is probably the way I would describe it. And that's definitely the reason why we created this kind of exercise for people to try. If you want to have a go, let us know in the comments down below what you would have chosen. I'd be really keen to see what people are thinking and how they would view the different types of platforms and stuff. And also, if you're happy to explain your answer, because that's the part that I find most interesting, you know, which, why, and what would you change is the other question. Because interestingly, I think both me and Andy will agree to this. We both use System One, so we're probably going to pick System One as our main platform because that's what we're used to, that's what we know, so therefore that makes sense. So somebody who went for something completely different, that I'd love to know why, definitely. So yeah, as always, YouTubers, we hope you enjoyed this. If you have found this a useful video, definitely leave us a like down below, really appreciate that. You're probably going to get some more videos coming up right here that gives you some more content in terms of what's coming up, and we've got some streams coming up with these platforms coming up in the near future, and if not, YouTube's probably suggesting something else right here. And as always, EGP Learning is here to help save you and your patients time by taking hands in your primary care and learning. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Oh, hello there, EGP Learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System One. And often I've really struggled to answer that question because, let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS, but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? it's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.